Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, November 1st, 2015. Pastor Dave Scavuzzo's sermon was entitled Detecting Joy and tells us that joy is a mystery that can happen anywhere or at any time. Today's scripture comes from Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Jesus tells a one-line story of a merchant, a person who's out looking for fine pearls, and when he discovers one in particular, he decides that everything about his life is worth exchanging so that he could have that one thing. G.K. Chesterton one time said that beauty in this world is a cosmic shipwreck. Like Robinson Crusoe, do you remember the story of a man who wakes up on a desert isle and he has amnesia? He can't remember who he is or where he comes from. He awakens unconscious to the reality of where he is and who he is. And he sees relics and treasures strewn around him. He begins to pick them up and piece together his life. He finds a coin, a part of a ship, a compass, some clothing, and he tries to discern their meaning from a civilization he begins but barely to remember, as if in a dream. So he begins then to piece his life together from the relics he finds as his mind is concussed. Says G.K. Chesterton, a metaphor of fallen humanity and a world in such state now. Good things living drenched in joy, beauty, and love. Still the world around us and we ourselves bear traces of our original purpose, but amnesia has marred the very image of God in us and around us, where we stumble around trying to remember who we are and whose we are and where we should be going. Jesus tells this simple story to recall our memory and to awaken us to the reality that there are these pearls or the hope of finding some great treasure in our life. He seems to be whispering through the parables in this chapter that heaven is not up there or out there or over there, and God isn't some senile grandfather who lives in the sky, but that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's dimensionally surrounding us and swirling about us, yet we're too ignorant to know. Once in a while, we catch clues and inklings and messages about its reality. We see shadows of heaven, whispers of Eden, a scent of a song we sort of pick up and then can't quite remember. Joy is a mystery because it can happen anywhere and in any time, even the most uncompromising of circumstances. You were made and created to respond to joy. And yet, I think our minds and our lives are so cluttered with email and text and tweets and Twitters and commitments and deadlines and shoulds and oughts, living for people's applause and image management and the worries of our day, that we're buried so deeply underneath sometimes our own selfishness that somehow we're blinded to the realities that have swirled around us since the moment we were born. We are like Robinson Crusoe, waking up and trying to figure out who we are and where we are in this God-drenched world. Walking most of my life, I really do, even as a real-life, professionally ordained pastor type, ignorant and oblivious to the messages and messengers that swirl around me, and every once in a while I peek into them and realize that heaven is here. It's right here. For those of you who have wondered, I wonder what heaven will be like. I think if you were to search your hearts deeply for all you've ever really wanted, you would find that you know more about it than you believe. I really believe that somehow seeking a supreme value of grace or gift or some awakening is what we all, in some ways, are looking for. In the story, a man finds something that's worth millions and millions of dollars, and he trades in his own little queer life and hawks his furniture and cashes in his CD and gives up his pension so he can have something that's beyond unimaginable joy and riches. It's not a sacrifice. It's a prudent deal. It's not some kind of stepping on my bottom lip, looking like, look what I sacrificed for God. It's not. It's what St. Francis of Assisi calls the laudable exchange, or in other words, a great deal, an impressive contract, something beyond lopsided, where you get something you can never lose by giving up something you can never keep. It's this amazing transaction that happens when we awaken to the reality and truth of grace. We tend to think that religion is coming to church at 11:05 or 9:25, sitting stiff and antiseptic while some guy bores you more than a little from up front. And I don't blame you a bit for being bored by me many, many days. But joy surprises us outside the walls of church in ways that are so beautiful, sometimes it breaks our hearts, and we think, could this be God? And we repress it because it's not boring enough. You're with, just thought maybe you, I was hoping you wouldn't get that. Modern culture can multiply our pleasures, but it cannot duplicate or generate joy. It can't. So modern culture, I think we find value on things we accomplish and succeed at. I mean, sometimes that brings real happiness to us, doesn't it? Like when you work hard at a marriage and you feel like you have a good marriage and you're happy about it, you should be. Like when you work hard at playing the piano and you can play the piano, you know, you should be happy about it. When you accomplish some kind of trophy and you sweat for it, you should be happy. Happiness is one of the high achievements of human existence that brings us a little bit of happiness, and we take credit for it as well we should. And yet there's something sudden and quick and unrepeatable and unspeakable about joy, the miracle of just being who we are, and the miracle of being with the blue sky and green grass and faces of friends and near the waves of an ocean for just what they are and no more. A moment when we are aware that we live in a God-drenched world and that everything is a gift to us. The person whom you love the most dearly, most likely who is sitting very close to you now, is just but a window or a picture or a transitory moment of a gift to you, not to squeeze and hold and manipulate and hang on to for your whole life, but something, when we really see it as gift, that awakens us to seeking this great pearl from which these gifts come. Can you feel God near, immediate, nigh? Quantum physics and waves theories tell us that time can stand still. So it does sometimes, does it not? Aren't there moments in your life where just for a moment you lose a track of time and you think, oh, if only I could just stay here? And God whispers back, honey, one day in Christ, you will. In every person's heart, there is a secret nerve that answers only to the vibrations of beauty. There is a road that goes from eye to heart that does not go through the intellect, that awakens us and stimulates us and makes us alive. Sometimes when I hear truth, just for what truth is, it makes me want to believe and want to know and want to seek the reality from which truth comes. You know, you do know what heaven is. It's raking leaves and realizing everyone is different and a gift. It's a fall walk. It's being known and loved, known, really known and still loved. It's choosing not to be a victim, but to be free. It's written on the pages of every book you've ever loved. It's having your heart broken over a movie scene, and you wonder, could this be too good to be God sneaking in down the chimney like Santa Claus? Camped out on your lawn with a legal fire in the backyard and stars over your head, or absorbing a piece of music that moves you deeply. These are God's ways of stimulating us and reminding us that pain is transitory and that joy is eternal and lasting and forever. I know that sometimes in our joy, sometimes in my joy, I grieve a little bit thinking, oh, I wish I could hold this and hang on to it forever. Sometimes when I look at my wife and think how unbelievably blessed and lucky and privileged I am to know this lady, and I want it to go on forever and ever and ever, and there's this little tinge of sadness in me knowing that one day there will be loss for her or me, and there have been losses in our lives with others whom we loved. Sometimes I want to wish away that pain of grief, and I know this now, that pain is the cost of love. And to wish away the pain of grief is to wish away the love for the one whom you love so dearly still. Sometimes now in my pain of grief, I thank God for that pain, knowing that it was only because they were such great gifts to me that formed me and molded me for the little goodness that emerges in my life. They were gifts of God that came through these transitory and beautiful things. Every athlete who has ever worked hard in spring training, who won the World Series, isn't sad for training. True? Every person who performed at Carnegie Hall on their night of debut wasn't bitter about finger exercises that night. Every marathon runner who ever sat down after a marathon and got to eat as much as they want and know they couldn't put calories back on, they just burned out, knows that pain is transitory and that joy is forever. Think about any great story you've ever heard, and at the end of the story, nobody bemoans the pain or discomfort that was in the midst of it. Cinderella forgets about sleeping in the attic and having creepy stepsisters after the slipper fits, right? The beast knows not the pain of isolation after being kissed and turned into a prince. Joy, real surprising joy, is suffering that's eclipsed by an empty tomb. Pain that's swallowed up in victory. Paul mocks death and sticks his tongue out at it and says, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh pain, where is your crown?" We are not people of this world trying to get to heaven. We acknowledge on All Saints' Day we are people who have lived in heaven who are making our way through this world. We are blessed for the people who have come into our lives and have shaped us and molded us, and we thank God for them even in the somberness of our reflection of our own death and life. So in the end, in this parable, Jesus offers us this choice. Would you throw away your former self for something more? Would you? It's trading up. You're not a martyr. It's not drudgery and hardship. It's not grim and gray. You don't have to look like you sucked persimmons as a Christian, because in the end, you have now gained something you could never otherwise have kept. You offer up your sins and you receive righteousness. You give away worry and find peace. You give away your anger and find joy. You give up maybe this morning the sacrificial and cheap and tinny to find something exclusive and beautiful inside of you. So on this All Saints' Day, we look now to others, not for taking care of us. We trade that in for looking to love others. On this All Saints Day, we trade up. Instead of expecting the world to enter our world, we choose to listen with love. It is a laudable exchange, the hope of giving away ourselves and finding Christ in reality. We give up our complaints and our withdrawing and our manipulation of others, and we whisper to God, "Take us and let us be lovers of this broken world." I'll close with this story. So when I was a younger dad, we had this really weird custom for our children when they were little about we would We would give them cash on holidays, and they would buy junk we didn't like or need. Anybody ever played that game with their children? It's really an odd game. I mean, like at Christmas, my son would come and he'd ask for money, and I'd pull out sometimes a bunch of money because I wanted a nice gift, and I'd give it to my kid, and he'd go to the store, but then he would always buy stuff I didn't like or need as a little kid. I mean, these big, weird, ugly ties, and one time he got me a brandy set, and I didn't drink. He just thought he said it was pretty. So I would get this stuff, and then I'd wonder, how long do I have to keep it, or how many times do I have to wear it so he doesn't need counseling? Do you know the game? Have you ever played that with your children? So on one particular year at Father's Day, I gave him 20 bucks. He ran off to Pat Catan's, and he bought a lump of clay. And then he bought some fake beads and jewelry, and he made this blob with this junk on it. I said to him, wow, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. He said, thanks, Dad. I said, what is it? Like that. But I mean, like I was trying really hard. And then I slid it up on my shelf thinking, I'll just keep it for a few months and then it'll go into the, you know what I mean? Is anybody 9 or 10 here? It's probably good if they aren't. This is like an adult message, like R-rated or something. So anyhow, as I put it on my shelf, I asked Andrew, I said to him, honey, you know, what is it? He said, you don't know when you're a pastor. I said, no, I really don't. He said, you dummy. He said, we studied the tabernacle, a place where God comes, and where people live in heaven, in community with God. And I said, oh. And he said, so when I'm with you, he said, sometimes when I'm with you, I know what heaven will be like. And now that broken, cracked, old blob of clay is not for sale. It's not. It's not. It's a reminder that I have seen heaven. I know heaven. And I would trade my life, my very life, and all that I own to one day know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. And then I will dance with joy, even though I never learned to dance. And I will be free of myself and all the junk that comes with it. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and it was a moment, just a moment of heaven when he tore it apart and said, my body, which will be broken for you, take, eat, and be forgiven and free, and dance, and sell your life for this, and know true and everlasting joy. And also on that very same night that he would be betrayed, he took a cup and said, this is the cup now, not over more church rules and regulations and drills. This is the cup of the remission of sin. Whoever you have been and whatever you have done, you come and you take and you drink and you be released. And trade your life, your old, broken, tired life that you will never keep, and gain eternity that you could never earn. That's the unimaginable deal, is it not? That's the laudable exchange. This is our hope in Christ. Pray with me.